Welcome to Let's Pray, the place where you don't have to pray alone. Ever wonder if your prayers are really reaching God or if you're saying the right things when you pray? Well, perhaps we can answer your questions today on Let's Pray. We've been seeing what the Bible has to say about prayer by taking a look at the Lord's Prayer. This is our second episode on the series, Learning How to Pray.
And before we continue with our topic, we want to remind you that our program is not live this week. However, we are going to still be available to pray for you and your needs. Our prayer partners are standing by to take your calls. And if you're in the U.S., please dial 877-7-LETS-PRAY. And our friends outside of the U.S., dial 859-777-PRAY. And whatever your concern is, we're here for you. Mm-hmm. And before we begin our discussion, let's ask God to bless our program and all of you wherever you may be around the world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, it is... Prayer is essential to our relationship with you. And we know that in theory, but maybe we struggle with it in reality. And so we just ask that you would do something special in this program today, that you would connect those who need to hear what is being said and also inspire those who are saying things on our end with your Holy Spirit and the words to say in order to help someone somewhere be able to have a greater connection with you and intimacy. Thank you so much for giving us the avenue of prayer, that open line of connection between God and humanity. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we intend to allow you to have your way in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, very happy to have Pastor Pavel Goya back for another portion of the Lord's Prayer. So I just love his perspective. I love the storytelling, and I really feel like the Lord has anointed him to talk about prayer.
Yeah, I agree. And it's good to have you back.
Well, praise God.
This is not the same without you. And so looking forward to diving in with Pastor Goya and yourself on this topic. We covered the first part of the Lord's Prayer, and to be able to now discuss a little more in depth this next part, I'm excited about that. Sometimes things can go terribly wrong in our lives, even when we pray. But God always shows his love in the midst of trials and tribulations. Let's watch the story of Vitalina by Adventist Mission.
Something went terribly wrong as Vitalina prepared to give birth to her second child in Sao Tome and Principe, a tiny island nation off the coast of West Africa. She began to bleed heavily, and the doctors mistakenly gave her the wrong type of blood during a blood transfusion. The baby was born safely, but Vitalina suffered a severe infection in her legs. To save her life, the doctors amputated both legs. Vitalina was just 19 years old. After this tragedy, Vitalina's husband left her for another woman. Depression overwhelmed her, and she considered suicide.
I felt a lot of pain, and I asked God, "Let me die. Please kill me, God, because I cannot live with this pain."
When a group of Adventist girls arrived at Vitalina's home to help with washing clothes, she only gave them some of her clothes and told them that was all. But eager to help, the girls decided to look through the house for more items to clean.
They washed and washed, and then they invited me to an evangelistic meeting. I attended it and decided to accept Jesus.
After her baptism, Vitalina was eager to share her new faith. She told her personal testimony to everyone who would listen. "Look at me," she told people who stopped by her home. "God is working in me, and I'm able to work. God is wonderful, and you need to trust him." Soon she led 40 people to baptism, including two of her children. The church accepted an offer from Vitalina to build a temporary structure outside her house. This humble church is made of people who are on fire for mission. As Vitalina shakes each hand, she is reminded that God will one day give us victory over everything that leaves us helpless.
I pray for this community that we may win them for Christ. There are still a lot of people here who need Christ. This is my mission.
What an amazing story of courage. Vitalina's story is a clear example of how God can have different plans for our lives than the ones that we want. Joining us to tell us more about how God responds to our prayers and to continue our study on the Lord's Prayer is Pastor Pavel Goya, the editor of Ministry Magazine. We are so blessed to have you here on the program. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is kind of a big question, so I'm asking, why is it that prayers seem like they're not answered? I mean, doesn't God care?
That's a big question, and I don't pretend I have an answer or an explanation to it, because there are so many things that I don't understand myself. Mm. But in an attempt to answer, I would say so many times we pray and we see an answer, and so many times we pray and we don't seem to get the answer the way we want or in the time we want. So doesn't God care? And I'm going to give something extremely challenging as an answer. I don't pretend that is the answer. But I'm going to divide it in three parts. Number one is that we live in this sinful environment. We live in this world of pain, and sin has brought death and suffering. And while we live in this world, it's like we are born in the war zone.
Yes, true.
We have no fault. Nevertheless, we are born in the war. And so we suffer that pollution, that pain, all those things that come with the war, the great controversy, the pain, the sin. Until Jesus comes, we will have this pain. And in this number one, because I said I'm going to give three answers, in this point, number one, I would like to imagine differently. What if God did answer all prayers? Let's suppose nobody who prays will ever have cancer. Nobody who prays will never have an accident. Nobody who prays will never be behind with any bills. Basically, nobody will lose a house before close. Nobody will lose a job. And if I pray for a Mercedes, I will have a Tesla. Okay, so basically, what if God did answer all prayers? That would be very nice, because everybody would be a Christian, not because they love God, but because, hey, I want a life without any pain. But the key is to love God regardless, like Job, regardless what we go through, not because of the blessings, but because of the relationship.
It's so powerful.
It's so powerful.
It really is truly powerful. Yeah. Unpack that a little bit, because I'm not sure if folks can understand, well, I won't say folks, I'll say myself. I'm not sure that I could truly understand that unless I was had really gone through something that challenged my faith.
My father used to say, because we talked about God answering prayers, and my father used to say, you know, if heaven had no Jesus, but had gold and no disease and no death, eternity, I would not need heaven without Jesus. I don't go there for eternity. I don't go there for the gold streets and health and forever life. I go there to spend time with Jesus.
Right.
And so, and my father said to me, if you are looking for answers, you are looking in the wrong place. You should be looking for Jesus. And then he said something that I never understood until now. He said that Jesus didn't promise ecstasy and happiness. He promised his presence. He said, in this life, you will have trials. But when you go through waters, when you go through fire, you are not alone. I will be with you.
Wonderful.
And so why God doesn't always answer, I don't know. But I do know that he is with us when we go through trials. And I do know that people go to real pain, real needs, real suffering. We all do, yeah. Sooner or later. It's not a matter of when, of what, if, it's just a matter of when. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give an example. My father used to bring Bibles in the country, in Romania, from former Yugoslavia, for many years, every week, tens of thousands of Bibles. It was against the law. And many times, uncounted times, the police came to our house. 2 a.m., 1 a.m., 4 a.m., during the day, during the night. They would knock in the door to break the door, and they would turn the house upside down, look in the mattresses, look in the closets, look everywhere. And if they found the Bibles, that would be the end of our freedom and maybe the end of our life. And every incident, we prayed, and one time the Bibles were in the middle of the living room, and they turned the house upside down, and they didn't see the 40 boxes of Bibles, big 40 boxes. And one time they didn't enter, and one time we got a phone call, Mr. Goya, remove the Bibles now. It was midnight 12. My father took the Bibles to countryside to my grandpa. He came back at 2 a.m., we went to sleep. 2:15, the police came, you have Bibles. And they checked the house. But my father got a phone call from somebody we never knew who called him. Mr. Goya, remove the Bibles now. My father said, who is there? Deed. We never knew who was there.
Was it hard for you as a child to see all of this disruption happening over Bibles?
That's the way I was raised. We got used. It was normal.
Mm-hmm. We got used. This is it. The Bible's worth it.
Yeah. Going back, every time we prayed, God saved my father from being caught with the Bibles for many years. One time God didn't. And they took my father to the police and they said, you have Bibles, we caught you, and you build churches and we'll kill you, we'll terminate you. And it happened before. They took him to the police and every time they released him and he came home. One time he didn't. They kept him. We told you so many times, stop bringing Bibles, we'll terminate you. And they said, we have no choice but to kill you. So they tucked and they said, if we kill him, the whole city knows this guy. Mm-hmm. We'll make him a martyr. Let's kill him in a way that nobody knows. So they put him in a room. They locked the room and left him alone there the whole night. We prayed the whole night. They came in the morning and two guys dressed in white with a mask on the face opened the room and said, you can go home. He looked at them strange and he went home. We said, the Lord answered our prayer. A week later, he started to vomit blood. He started to lose hair, to lose nails. Radiation. We took him to the doctor, and the doctor said, you have been irradiated. You have been exposed to high levels of radiation. Mm-hmm. His spine stopped working. He got lymphatic leukemia. And the doctor said, that's from radiation. He died in 3 months. We prayed. And yet, he died. And I remember before he died, half an hour, we were praying and crying, please, Lord, please, Lord, please. And my father said, don't you think that is enough? I said, what? You asked the Lord quite a few times for the last 3 months. I think he heard you. And my father said, God answered, and I will be healed, but not now, in heaven.
It's so powerful, and I think that it's especially powerful for you to sit here and to talk about that. And we know, and I'm sure you've heard some of the calls come in our program, so many folks in our community are really, they're sitting right in the middle of something like that. They're sitting right in the middle of God saying no, or an answer to a prayer that they did not like, or praying for a loved one, and they did die.
And my father said to me, he said, you know, he said, the inspired word says that to every honest prayer, in the one of the inspired books, to every honest prayer, an answer will come. Mm-hmm. But then it's a comma. He says it would be wrong to assume that God answers the way we want in the time we want.
Yeah, yeah, amen. Mm-hmm.
And later, in a different paragraph, if we knew the end from the beginning, we would choose the same path. And then he looked to me, and he looked to my mom crying, and he looked at my two sisters, and he said, God doesn't focus so much on this life. This is so short, 80 years. 60 years, 90 years. He didn't come here. Jesus didn't come to give us this life. He came to give us eternal life. And he says, in this life, you would have tribulations. And my father said to me, he wants to give us eternal life. So this life, Paul says that the suffering of this life is not worthy to be compared to the eternal glory to come. And my father says, I'm going to die, and it's going to be a second for me because I will know nothing. Mm-hmm. And then I open my eyes at the resurrection, and I'm going to see Jesus. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I've been living for, not for this life. And then he says, stop praying for my healing. I'm okay with it. And then he says something really strange. He said, in this church, I've been bringing Bibles. I've been building churches. I've been planting churches. I've been doing evangelism, giving Bible studies. But the others are afraid of communism, and they don't do it. And God knows that they have a good heart, and they should do it. And God wants them to grow. And then he says, under big trees, nothing ever grows. Sometimes you cut a big tree so the small trees would develop. So he says, God considers that it's better for me to go so the others would develop.
Yes.
Powerful.
Oh.
What insight. I mean, it has to be Jesus to be able to see something like that.
He told my mom, stop crying. And he says, on my stone, you're right there. I know my Redeemer. And even if my skin is destroyed, I'll see him.
Amen.
Powerful.
Amen. Wow, to grow up with a father like that, that is amazing. A hard, hard life, but a wonderful example.
Yeah, and he prayed for us.
Yes.
He said, no, Lord, I know you and I trust you, but help them to trust you. And then he closed his eyes.
Yeah. I'm done. Yeah. I mean, just, yes, Jesus, that we might have that. And carefully I say that, carefully, very carefully I say that, because sometimes we don't know what we pray, what we ask for.
So I'm going to give you another example, stories. There was a girl that we grew up together. Our parents grew up together. Our grandparents grew up together. Our families know each other for generations. Good, close family friends, spending Christmas and New Year together. And basically, family. And they moved to the U.S. way before we came to the U.S. And I was at a camp meeting in Wisconsin long ago. And she called me from different south of the country here. And she says, would you please come and pray for me? I learned a week ago that I have terminal cancer in the very last stage. She had cancer and she didn't know for several years. She said, I thought I was just tired because I don't sleep enough. I didn't know that, in fact, I have cancer. And I didn't go to the doctor. When I went last week, the doctor said, it's too late. Cancer has eaten all your body. It's all over, in your lungs, in your bones, in your kidneys. It's all over. There is nothing. I don't know how you can walk. I don't know how you can be alive. And the doctor said, you need to prepare. You don't have much. And she says, I have weeks, if maybe even less. And she says, I want you to come and pray for me. And I told her, I said, listen, I have no power. I have back pain and I pray for myself and the pain is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I pray for somebody and God answers. And I could give you stories. And sometimes I pray and God doesn't seem to answer. And I don't know why. When I go to heaven, I'm going to ask him why. Until then, I don't know. So I will pray for you, but I don't have power to promise you healing because I cannot heal anybody.
Mm.
I said, but come here and anoint me and pray for me. So I went to the conference president. I said, would you let me go? And he said, I feel for her and I feel for you. But no, I cannot let you go because you have some things to do during camp meeting that are very important and we cannot replace you. And he says, it's Thursday or Wednesday. It was Wednesday, actually. You can go Sunday when we finish.
Mm.
So I told her, she says, I don't have until Sunday. Come today. I go back to him and he says, no. Who do you think you are?
Stuck
Jesus?
Yeah.
He says, you are Jesus? She doesn't need you. In fact, Jesus didn't go. He said to the
Lazarus.
Yes. Or to the servant, go home, your servant has been healed. And in that hour, the servant, so, or the Roman guy says, don't come into my, I'm not worthy for you to come into, just say the word.
Mm-hmm.
And the conference president says, who do you think you are? Even Jesus didn't go there. Just pray for her. So I told her and she was very unhappy. She says, oh, please come Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So I prayed for her that night, Wednesday night. And I prayed and prayed and prayed the whole night, trying to convince Jesus to listen to me. Not trying to seek God's will, not trying to accept it, not trying to, but trying to convince God to answer my prayer. Lord, please heal her, please, 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 please. And I got no peace. And then Thursday throughout the day, I was praying, and then Thursday night I was praying again. And actually, as I was praying, I started to do my study, my devotional in the morning. And as I was studying, my next chapter in the Bible, it was about Moses' death. And he asked the Lord, please let me see the country. Please let me. And the Lord said, enough. Stop asking. You will die. You will not see the land. And for me, it was like, are you answering my prayer? And you say, no, enough, stop pushing. Because when I was a kid, I loved chocolate. And I would go to my mom.
I'm with you.
And say, I want the chocolate. My mom said, you already had one, it's too much. And I would grab her by her dress. Mommy, chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. And I would push and push and push for hours until she would get a headache. Okay. And my father would come home from work. Don't do it just because he wants it. And I thought that if I push God that way and keep asking and asking, because the Bible says if you go like the woman at the judge, you know. And I misunderstand that, because it's not that we should force, twist God's arm. So he surrenders and says, like Hezekiah the king, okay, you can have another 10 years. I thought that if I push, God is going to do my way. And so it was like, are you talking to me? And you say, enough, she will die. So I was not happy with that answer. And I closed the Bible. And I went to study from other inspired books, and I opened the Acts of the Apostles. And my next study was from Stephen's life. And as I studied, the first paragraph is that they stoned him and he died. I said, oh, again you talk about death.
Come on, Lord.
Come on, Lord. And I closed the book of Acts. And I got a little frustrated, and I didn't study anymore. And I went to the big auditorium where Elder Ed Reed was speaking about end time events. And as I enter into the auditorium, he says, and before Jesus comes, many will be called to rest. I said, oh, I care again about death. And I went back to my cabin and I started to cry and said, Lord, I'm not going to let you go before you do what I ask. You heal her. No answer, no peace, no nothing. And I prayed the whole night. And in the morning, somebody knocked in my door and says, Pavel, we need you. We need you for this and that. I said, I cannot come today. He says, open the door. We need you. They wait for you. You need to speak. So when I opened the door, I was crying. He said, are you crying? I said, yeah. Why? Because I have been praying for 2 days and two nights that God heals my friend, and God says no. And he says, then stop teaching prayer. I said, what do you mean? You teach them to accept God's plan, and you want God to accept your plan. Who do you think you are, the master, you are God, or you are the servant? And I was like, oopsie. And he said to me, instead of praying that God heals her, there are some prayers that God would answer differently. And he says, do you think that God doesn't love her? He gave Jesus. Do you think that God doesn't care? God wants us to be happy. But in this life, we live in this environment, in this sinful world, there is pain. And Jesus is an example. He died on the cross. And God did not took the cup away. Jesus did drink the cup.
Amen.
And so he says, rather pray that God would give her comfort and help her to accept it and to be saved.
To save her.
Because God wants to give her eternity. When she goes to heaven, she's going to forget about this life.
Yeah.
And he said to me, remember, heaven is beyond human imagination. Ear had not heard, words cannot describe, eyes have not, mind cannot grasp. God is going to give her that for eternity. So I went back to my cabin. And I said, Lord, okay, I accept that she will die. Would you please give her comfort and peace to the point that she would accept it and she would have the confidence of salvation? And I said, I surrender and accept it. Would you please answer prayer in this way? As soon as I prayed, I had like an extreme feeling of peace. It's like, calm down right away. And I sense like God's presence beside me. And like God said, I will give her peace. I love her.
Pastor Goya, pause right there. Amazing story. We're gonna continue this discussion. We're going to get into the Lord's Prayer. We want to thank Pastor Goya for being with us. We are not live right now, but you can call us 877-7-LET'S-PRAY is the number to call. We want to hear from you. We have prayer partners standing by to answer each one of your calls. So give us a call. You know that we love you here at Let's Pray, and we will return. Today, we're taking time to really understand the meaning of the Lord's Prayer. And joining us again to continue the discussion is Pastor Pavel Goya, the editor of Ministry Magazine. Thank you so much, Pastor Goya, for coming and joining us on Let's Pray.
Thank you. My privilege.
I want to go ahead and give you the opportunity to finish that dynamic story that you just started, and then we'll jump right into addressing the next part of the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So to finish that story, I prayed the whole night, and eventually I accepted that she will die, but I prayed for comfort, for assurance of salvation, for peace, that she would accept it. And I said, Lord, I accept it, but what about her? What about her children, her husband, her family? Please give them peace and strength through this trial, through this pain. And I had peace. And I was opening the Bible and continuing my study, and where I left it the day before, that Moses pleaded to the Lord, please let me see the country. And God said, no, you will die. But then the next paragraph is that God showed him in a vision the promised land. And then I opened the spirit of prophecy there, looking into the inspired book, the book of Acts. And that Stephen was stoned, he died. But before that, he saw heaven. Mm. And I said, Lord, are you talking to me somehow that you are going to give her the assurance of heaven? That's better than anything, even of this life. Right. And I had peace. Next morning, her husband called me. He says, you know, she entered in a coma yesterday and she died last night in the middle of the night after one or two or whatever. And he says, but something very strange happened and I cannot explain it. She was pale, she was in coma, and instantly she opened her eyes. And he says, I was there. And she was bright. And I cannot explain it, but she was bright. She was shining. And she was smiling. And she was talking to somebody. And she said, okay, yes. Wow. Thank you. Yes, no problem. No problem. And then she closed her eyes. And he says, what is it? And I said, my brother, I'm not sure. But I'm going to tell you what I think. Yeah. I prayed that she would have peace and the assurance of salvation and God's presence with her. And this is what I think. I think that Jesus came to her and said, my daughter, you'll now go to rest. But let me show you what is next. You'll rest, you'll know nothing. For you, it's going to be 1 second. But right after this is Resurrection Day. And this is what is waiting for you. And he pulled the curtain and showed her heaven. And she was like, wow, beyond human imagination. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, are you okay with that? And she says, yes, let's get it done.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah. And he started to cry and he says, thank you for sharing that with me. So why God doesn't always answer, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do know that in the second part of the question that we mentioned, three parts, we should not always look for these answers while we do want them. And there is suffering, we should focus on heaven because that's what we aim. We are transitory. We are tourists here, like all the patriarchs. They looked for a better country.
Yeah.
We don't belong here. We should look for a better place. Mm-hmm. And we should aim and have our comfort that we are going to spend eternity and there will be no more tears. No. And that's how you comfort people.
Yeah.
The second coming, no more pain. And then the third part, this is something strange that I'm not sure I could be wrong. But I'm going to say it, and that's the way I finish it. When Jesus did miracles, most of the miracles, in my opinion, were not so much aimed to help them now, but rather give them salvation. Basically, he says, praying about Lazarus, do this so they may know that you sent me. So they may know, they may believe in me. Right. The goal was not so much to give Lazarus 2-3 more years, but that they would believe in Jesus and be saved.
To be a witness.
Or the paralyzed, they lowered him and just, your sins are forgiven. And they say, who is this guy to forgive sins? And Jesus says, for you to believe that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins, I say. So what was the purpose of the healing? So they may believe in him and be saved. So Jesus' purpose was mainly to bring eternal life and belief in him. And so I would say that sometimes in this life, we don't get everything the way we ask. But God's purpose is to give us eternity.
Amen.
So that I'm not sure I have the answers. I'm just trying to help seek for an answer. Right. Because not all things go the way we pray or we want.
That's
Well, and Jesus isn't, for lack of a better phrase or term, figure-outable. I don't want a God that I can figure out. I don't want to be able to have all the answers, because then he's not God. If I can figure it out, and I'm no one.
Yeah. And we also, as I said, if we get all the answers, we are tempted to be Christians for the benefit, the blessings of it, instead of the relationship and the love.
And he longs for relationship with us. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful.
Not to mention that God, though we go through pain, and he doesn't want us to have pain, God turns it in a blessing and teaches through trials, purifies the gold, and teaches us to have patience and faith, and then he is with us through the pain.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you.
We're going to transition into, once again, diving into the Lord's Prayer. And this has all been about prayer. And I love the fact that you're emphasizing the relationship with God. And as we transition, we're talking about thy kingdom come, the part of the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. What does it mean? Why is it important that God's kingdom come? Can you begin to break that down a little bit?
So it is very important to underline that the Greek grammar doesn't use there a future tense, but a present tense, a present continue. Basically, it doesn't refer to the second coming, but rather to today. Mm. May your kingdom come today into my life, into my heart, into my family, into my church. Please, Lord, come today. Mm. Basically, the Bible is full of Bible verses in the New Testament about being citizens of heaven, living in heaven. Jesus says, I pray that they are in the world, but not of the world. And so basically today, Jesus talks to Lazarus, today my kingdom has entered your house. Basically, why is God's presence important today? How can we experience God's presence eternally if we don't start seeking his presence now? We are not going to instantly change at the second coming. It's a process. It's a continual growth process from being babies to the fullness of statue of Christ. And we need to learn to be in his presence continually. If we don't enjoy his presence, how are we going to enjoy his presence forever? You know, we are going to get bored. Oh, man, I would rather go and, you know, do something different. Just stay in his presence. And so, but think about it. Why is it important to experience his kingdom now? All Bible people, and I mean all Bible people of faith, they have encountered God's presence now. And all of them have been changed because of God's presence. Think about it. Simeon sees the baby Jesus. When he hugs the baby, takes the baby Jesus in his arms, he says, now I can die in peace because I've seen the glory of the Lord. Why now and not before? Mm-hmm. What did he do to his life to say, I don't care if I live or die? Paul, in an honest way, thinking that he does good for God, he persecutes Christians. But on the road to Damascus, he sees God's presence. He has an encounter with God. And after he sees Jesus, his life is turned around from persecutor to apostle. John, the Revelator, sees Jesus on the island, Patmos Island, and his life is turned upside down. Daniel sees Jesus, he collapses, and then all people in the Moses says, I want to see you.
Yeah.
David says, I want you more than life, more than food, more than water. I want you, period. I don't want anything else. I want you. Isn't that something? He's in the wilderness. He has no water for his army and for the wives and the children. In Psalm 63, instead of praying for water and food and protection, he says, I want you more in a dry land. I want you more than water, more than food. I want you. Relationship.
Yeah.
And people look so much for blessings, forgiveness, salvation, they are all good. But very little, Lord, I want you more than the blessings. I want you more than the help. I want you, period. It's like I was dating my wife. And every time I would see her, I would always have in mind, I'm going to buy for her this, and I'm going to get for her that, and I'm going to write poetry for her. When you admit, I forgot everything. I opened my mouth, and I would say to her, I would love to just be with you forever. And I would forget all other things. To be in that type of relationship that you forget all other things, and in his presence, all you want is him. Nothing else. No blessings, no help. You just want him, and you don't care if you live or die. For me, to live is Christ. And if I die, it's a benefit, because next second, what I know is second coming, I'm going to be with him, so I'm happy either way.
Yeah.
And so going back, What is to desire God's kingdom in your life today? Think about Isaiah. He says in an inspired book that for the first 15 years of his ministry, he was tempted to condemn, criticize, gossip, talk about the others. That guy is bad. That guy, he wakes up early and goes to sleep late, always working, never studying. Look how that lady gets dressed. Look how that elder be. Look to that pastor. Look, you guys, you call good evil and evil good. You guys, you, it's all woe to those, woe to you, woe to those, woe to, always condemning others. Mm-hmm. Up to chapter 6, first 15 years of his ministry. In chapter 6, he has an encounter with God. And he sees Jesus. He sees God in his holiness, in the sanctuary, and the angels worshiping him. Holy, holy, holy. And when he sees God, instantly, instead of saying, everybody around me is bad, this is a bad people, he says, woe to me. I am a sinner. And I have sinful lips.
Yeah.
And that encounter with Jesus transforms his life entirely. And only when you see Jesus, you can see yourself how you are. Until then, you criticize people. When you see Jesus, you see how you are. And as you see how you are, he says, Lord, I need to be cleansed. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus sends an angel that takes the coal and touches his lips because he had a lips problem.
I think that it's so powerful that it's in that specific order. I really like what you said, because when we see Christ first, then who we are, which is in proper order, Christ first, and then we see the reality of who we are, then we have a proper vision.
Yep.
Because if it's us first and then we're looking for Jesus, then it's out of order.
Exactly. Search my heart, Lord. Not that because the Lord doesn't know. Show me my state, because we don't know. We have a tendency, while we say we are sinners, we have a tendency to blame others sometimes for our own problems.
Or think, yeah, absolutely. Or think we're not quite as much of a sinner as they might be.
Exactly. Look to that guy. He just came out of prison. I am better than him, certainly. I am a pastor.
You're a recovered drug addict, but you can't be that recovered.
Right.
Like, I mean, you know, not that recovered.
I mean, hey, I may not be Paul or Mother Teresa, but I am not like that guy.
Right. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, as somebody living in recovery, I have struggled looking at others who are still struggling myself. I'm tempted to be arrogant because the Lord has brought me out and the Father has humbled me in that area. So it's not like it's us saying that those people are doing it. I mean, we do it. Yeah.
But what happens is Isaiah sees Jesus. He realizes, comparing himself with God, how holy God is and how sinful he is. And only when you see Jesus, you realize how you are.
Amen.
And then he says, woe to me. I deserve to die. I am done. I'm dead. Because all in the Bible, when they see God, they collapse. Daniel, Ezekiel, John, they all, Paul, they all collapse. And if you don't collapse, you have not seen Jesus.
In comparison to him, we're all in need.
And I just want to say, Pastor Goya, I just want to say to you, our friends, our community, maybe you need to see Jesus right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have power in and of ourselves, but we can help you facilitate that experience. Give us a call. 877-7-LET'S-PRAY is the number to call. Maybe you are seeing yourself for the first time and you don't know what to do with what you're seeing. But we've been just taught here, come fall at the feet of Jesus. We want to pray for you. We want to join with you in that process of you coming to see Jesus and the transformation that he provides by just being in his presence and speaking to him.
Amen. Yeah. Jesus loves us in that place.
Yeah,
you know, that moment of realization. And it's like, oh, we're so tempted to hang our heads. And he's like, child, I'm here.
Yeah.
Let's deal with it.
So why God's kingdom today?
Yes.
As Isaiah encounters Jesus, Jesus' presence, not only that he sees himself, but he says, woe to me. He confesses, I am a sinner with unclean lips and I live among people. We are all sinners. We are all equal at the foot of the cross. We are all equal. We all deserve nobody. We all come short of the glory of God. Who am I to judge my brother? And I am a sinner. And as he confesses, an angel comes and touches his lips and says, you are cleansed. So he experiences grace as you see Jesus and you realize how you are. You experience grace and he experiences transformation. And next, the Lord says, who shall I send? He says, send me. So only people that see Jesus and realize how they are and experience grace and forgiveness are able to save
powerful
others. Because how can you save others before you are saved? And so why is it important to have God's kingdom? We are not Christians if we don't experience God's kingdom.
Yeah.
Moreover, and I'm going to go into the real subject, God's presence sanctifies people.
Yeah.
Our efforts, regardless how strong, will never change our hearts. We can change our external behavior. That's the reason we are changed from glory to glory, Paul says, by beholding.
Yeah.
There is a quotation that says at the foot of the cross, as we behold his love and his grace and his character, we are changed from glory to glory into his image without human effort. Basically, we are not changed by what we do, but by staying in his presence. His presence sanctifies by spending time with him. Therefore, you should seek his kingdom, not as I want to live forever, but as Lord, would you please come with your kingdom in my heart today? I need you more than eternal life. I need your presence. I need relationship. I cannot change myself. I cannot understand who I am. I need you.
Yeah.
And so let me give a story about that. I'm going to give a story.
I feel like you just set some people free saying that, honestly, because there's so much. We're always taught or we're told that, you know, you can't work your way to heaven. And of course, the word supports that. But really, truly, that there's nothing that we can do in and of our own strength to affect change in our lives without the presence of Jesus and without his power.
Yeah.
There's nothing. And so, like, we can rest.
That's it.
Like, you can throw everything you've got at it, and there's just nothing.
That's the reason people get discouraged, because they try and try, and they are powerless. And my father used to say to me, I was crazy when I was young. I'm still a little crazy, but not as bad as I was. I used to do a lot of pranks. One of them, to catch fleas from my grandfather's dog and put them in the tub where you should take a shower, wash, you know, and watch them as they jump trying to escape. But the tub was taller than they could jump, so they would give up and die. And later in life, I told my father, I cannot change myself. And my father said, you are like the fleas. You cannot jump so high.
Wow.
And he said, you should stop trying, because you'll get discouraged and die in discouragement.
Mm. Mm.
And he said to me, a fully discouraged Christian is a fully useless Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you need to learn relationship. You need to seek Jesus, because his presence in you can overcome sin that you alone cannot.
You're like, I give up, Jesus. He's like, finally.
And so seek his presence. Lord, I cannot do it. Confess. Lord, I want it, but I cannot. I don't do what I want. I do what I hate. Please come into my heart.
Right.
And my father said to me, pray that prayer several times a day. Lord, I have a tendency to depart. Please stay with me. Don't let me depart. But anyway, going back, I want you to give a story related to his kingdom. In 1977, March 4th, we had an earthquake in Romania. It was extremely strong. 7.4 magnitude on Richter scale.
Wow.
For 1 minute and 16 seconds. And it was so strong, and then moving that and then back this way, that many buildings collapsed and many, many, many thousands of people lost their lives. I've seen buildings just rubble, and I've seen human body parts like a hand in the rubble without the body, without the rest of the body. And the smell after a few days, it was terrible. Well, people, when the earthquake started, it was Friday night, we were in our apartment at the fourth story. It was our apartment in the building. And when the building started to move, people started to scream and run down the stairs. Elevators stopped working. And many buildings collapsed. Many stairs collapsed with the weight of many people running and the movement of the building. Many people that were outside buildings fell on them, or bricks from the chimneys or whatever killed them. And so the people were running all over screaming. And the building was moving. And my mother started to scream and to say, Lord, forgive my sins. If we die, I want to be saved. And my father looked to her and says, honey, you should have done that daily. Not now, in the last moment.
Mm.
You need to prepare daily and seek God's presence and peace. And my father started to sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And my mother said, how can you sing during the earthquake? And my father said, I open my mouth and songs come alone.
Mm. Praise God.
And he said to my sister, go to the piano, let's sing together. And my sister said, the piano is moving. And while we were had a short chat, somebody knocked in the door, a strong knock during the earthquake. So my father opened the door. My next door neighbor says, Mr. Goya, can me and my family come into your apartment? And my father says, why? Why don't you run like everybody else? I says, there is no safe place in the building, on the stairs, or outside. I don't even know if I'll make it. And he says, why would you want to come in my apartment? And she said, we know that heaven lives here.
Oh,
everybody knows. When we fight, when we argue, when we scream, you guys, you sing and you pray. And you help people and you pray all the time and you have peace on your face. And we know that there is an atmosphere of heaven. We know that heaven is in your house. We can sense it. And we know that's the single safe place in the whole building. Can I come in? And as he said, come in. And he started to teach her the song. Let's sing Rock of Ages. And she says, I don't know the song. So the earthquake stopped. And my father looked to her and says, you need to get heaven into your house too.
Yes.
If you want peace, you need to have Jesus.
That's right.
That means may your kingdom. How can we expect to experience heaven when Jesus comes if we don't start experiencing God's presence now?
Mm. Powerful.
Very much. How can we, honestly?
Yeah.
And it's very powerful to me that you're saying that that starts now. And you were talking about the tense of that word, kingdom come. It's come and continues to come. Is that correct? So it just keeps, we can continue to have that, not just today, but tomorrow and the next day and the next day.
It is essential that every morning we invite God's presence in our home, in our heart. We ask God's presence over our family, over our children. It is essential that throughout the day, as Daniel did, we stop and say, Lord, I have a tendency to depart. Please come with your presence into my heart, like the song, into my heart. It is essential that we learn to walk with Jesus as the Bible people, like Enoch, like the others, Abraham, they walked with Jesus, to learn that continual dependence. And I walk with him and I talk with him. The song, and I walk, you know. And so people of faith did that. And we, if we want to be Christ followers, Jesus walked with the Father. He was in continual connection with the Father. We need to do that.
Amen.
And so many times people focus on prayer, on getting answers, getting blessings, but
it's very transactional.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Instead of seeking God's presence. And people say, I didn't get an answer. But they forget that, you know, answer to prayer, the greatest possible prayer and the greatest possible answer is to have God's presence.
I think he's the answer.
And amen. Number two, people say to me, I've been praying for 2 weeks for God's presence and I don't get it. Are you kidding me? This is a lifelong growth process. You cannot say, my kid, I've been praying that he grows and in 2 weeks he grew only 1 millimeter. It's a process. Kids grow slow, but they do grow. So we should seek this growth, spiritual growth, all our life.
So, yeah, Pastor, I hear someone saying, I understand that I need the kingdom in my life. How do I pray for the kingdom to be in my life? How do I pray for that?
And it's essential to unite prayer with study and experience. Prayer and study should never separate. They go together. Through prayer, we talk to God. Through study of the Word, it's God's Word. God talks to us. And people, when they say prayer, they understand only prayer. When I say prayer, prayer is a dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
I understand prayer and study together. And I understand reflection. When I say reflection, I'm talking about trying to digest what I study. Trying not to do my duty. Okay, I read three chapters from the Bible today. Mm-hmm. But trying to think it, to ask questions, to eat it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I pray and think and study and pray and think and study. And basically, how do I see God's kingdom? By connecting with God's word and giving God a chance to talk to me, by praying, by reflecting, by experiencing God every second, and by periodically asking God to come into my life.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Make prayer not only a need-based event. Make prayer not only a duty or routine, morning and evening and meals. Make prayer a lifestyle. Make prayer the breath of the soul. Don't tell me that you breathe only in need. We breathe all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Make prayer the breath of the soul. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean keep asking without ceasing. It means be connected to God all the time.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, we should.
Amen.
You know, there was a moment when a counselor of mine, she's a strong Christian woman who knew the word very well. She would tell me, Season, because I was having to seek the Father and help with my thought patterns during the day. And this speaks to pray without ceasing, to continually be in conversation with the Lord. And I would get into like repetitive thought patterns. And I think that a lot of folks deal with stuff like that, you know, maybe anxious thoughts, whatever. And I would feel this departure from his presence in that moment. She would say, Season, just stop. I don't care if you have to do it 500 times a day, you'll eventually do it less and less, but it's, I'm doing it again, confession, forgive me, refresh me with your forgiveness, give me something else to think about. Mm-hmm. And every time it worked. And I'm not saying that the thoughts didn't come back maybe 10 minutes later when I first got sober, you know, 6 months later, maybe it was a little bit better, but it's like taking the wheel and choosing to drive out of the ruts that we've believed and then into his presence. And it's like, I don't have to say what it is. It's, I'm doing it again. He knows. Forgive me. Refresh me with your forgiveness and give me something else to think about.
Moreover, you ask, how can I do that? Mm. We focus most of the prayers on self. Mm-hmm. Our needs, our problems, our pain. But when you start focusing on God, that's the reason the first part of the prayer is about God. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Yeah.
And then give us, forgive us, do not let us go into temptation. So the first part focuses on God. In prayer, we focus so much on self that we get depressed based on our struggles. But if we, in prayer, focus on him, it's easier to seek his kingdom, because as you look to him, the more you know him, the more you look to him, you know him. The more you know him, you understand his love and his grace and his character and his holiness and his grace and his patience and his plans. And the more you understand him, the more you love him and you trust him and you want him. So you seek him more. And so the more you seek him, the Bible says that if you seek me with all your heart, I will let myself be found. And the Bible says if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. So the more you seek him, the more you know him, the more you know him, the more you want him, the more you want him, the more you seek him again. Mm-hmm. So when you seek him, he comes closer to you. And you see him more, and you understand him more, and you say, wow, this is above my understanding. This is amazing. Lord, I love you. I want you more. So you seek him more. And as you seek him more, he comes closer to you, not instantly, because he would blind you. He would consume
Shekinah.
You. So he comes another step. And then you understand more, and you love him more, you understand him more, you want him more, and you seek him more. And slowly, the more you seek him, and his presence, the closer you get, until you become one with him. And people see you, but they see Jesus in you. Mm. And that's what Christians do.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. Amen. And for those that are like, well, is wanting things bad? I mean, it does say that, and all these things will be added unto you, but it's seek him first.
Right.
And it's like, if you're sitting in his presence at his feet, is this correct? That the rest of that, it'll be added or not added, but it's going to be up to him, and you're submitted to him, and you're in his presence, and there's just peace.
That's it.
Would that be a good way to describe that?
Absolutely.
Because folks are wondering, like,
that's
well,
it.
Can I pray?
I want things.
I need things.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I give you my peace. Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to take a pause for a brief break from our interview with Pastor Pavel Goya to encourage. We just want to encourage you to give us a call. 877-7-LET'S-PRAY is the number to call. We're not live, but we still have prayer partners that are standing by, and they are available to pray with you. So 877-7-LET'S-PRAY. Friends outside of the U.S., 859-777-PRAY. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. We've been blessed to have Pastor Pavel Goya, editor of Ministry Magazine, here. We've been discussing the Lord's Prayer, mm-hmm. and specifically the part of the Lord's Prayer that says, Thy kingdom come. It's been a wonderful discussion. Pastor Goya, could you just give us some brief final thoughts on this particular part of the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come?
I believe it is extremely important that people understand, that we all understand, that prayer should not be used as an emergency, a crisis resource. In need, we run to God. While we should and we could present our needs to the Lord, because he cares, prayer should be a continual, lifelong process where we stay connected, where we learn to walk with Jesus, where we learn to know his voice, where we learn to understand his will, where we learn to depend on him, not on self. We learn to trust him when we don't understand what is going on. Yeah. We learn to know that he knows and he cares, and He's with us. We are not alone. Mm. And more than that, we learn to seek His presence more than we seek blessings, more than we seek answers, to want His presence in our heart, in our family, in our, basically in our life. That's real prayer. Yeah. Is when God moves into us and He dwells in us, and we are connected all the time.
I don't think I'll ever forget the story you gave earlier about your father in the earthquake. And it's his first impulse was to sing or to connect with God in that special way that he had during a crisis. And I pray that we are all intentional about being connected in that way, so that whether it's a great sunshiny day or whether there's a crisis, our first impulse is to connect with God.
I want to add something there. People want victory.
Yeah.
Lord, give me victory over anger. Give me victory over whatever they struggle with. But people have no power to change. Mm-hmm. The key is that when you connect, God's presence in you protects you from Satan's attacks. There is nothing we can do to protect ourselves. But when God lives in us, there is no room for anything else. And this is what we should seek before we seek blessings or change, transformation. We should seek God's presence. We should desire to know Him, because to know Him is life eternal. Mm-hmm. And so instead of seeking to do, we should seek to know.
Mm.
Seek to know. Seek to be in His presence. And all these things will be added unto you. Amen?
I mean,
amen.
Moses says, Lord, I want to see you and I want to know you. What is more beautiful than to see God and hear Him and know Him and walk with Him? And this is not an event. This doesn't happen. You don't know somebody after two meetings. Hey, I met her twice and now I know her.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lifelong process. You need to have time that you spend together. And the more time you spend together, the more you know somebody.
And have grace for ourselves in that process.
Right.
And allow the Lord to allow the Lord's grace for us in that process.
So quick word. If people don't see growth, it's because they look to the moment. And this is a process. So instead of looking for change, just stay in His presence and let Him worry for transformation.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Really excited to continue this study with you on the Lord's Prayer. And Let's Pray, family. Just remember that we are going to come to you again next week. Even though we will not be live, you can still get a hold of us. 877-7-LET'S-PRAY is the number to call. We still have prayer partners there ready to pray with you. And of course, you can always talk to us on live and on Facebook as well at Let's Pray Live. You guys, the Lord's Prayer, continued study, Pastor Pavel Goya. Don't forget to join us. Remember, Let's Pray is the place where you do not have to pray alone. Amen?
Amen. Take care, everybody.